take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Rough Bell Metal Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Tuesday, March 24th, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Howdy ho to all you out there in 420 Radio Land, listening to us all the way out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean in the sovereign kingdom of Hawaii. Shout out to our friend Hi in Hawaii, who was looking forward to today's show. All the way back to the peninsula of Florida. We got listeners out there in Florida. We got listeners in Utah, in Colorado, Massachusetts, as far flung places as Bahrain, even. Believe it or not, we got listeners in Bahrain and England and Spain and all over the place. And please, thank you and such admiration for the people who have helped make 420 Radio what it is. And for your continued listenership, these are the early days of 420 Radio. You're going to be able to look back and say, oh my God, I was there back when it was just a little radio show. And the things that are planned for the future here are very exciting. I've been on the phone all day today with investors and developers and other business types, including a radio station out of Colorado Springs, Colorado, 1580 AM. That is negotiating to get the Russ Melville Show on live, maybe starting in May on their radio station. We got to talk about it a little bit. It might require changing our live stream time to 3 hours earlier, but I don't know. I don't know if I want to do that or not. So we're still in negotiations. We're still going to figure out what it is, but we might be breaking through onto the terrestrial radio airwaves. Really looking forward to that. All right, coming up on today's show, we've got a few more clips from the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference that we want to get to, showing everybody just how things are developing here in the state of Oregon. We got a report from the conference floor and an interview with the guys putting together the Golf and Weed, the Oregon Cannabis Classic, the second annual Golf and Weed Tournament benefiting multiple sclerosis. We'll also talk with Brian from Budfolio, a great medical marijuana journaling application for smartphones. We're going to look at that. Also, in our legalization law and order today, we're going to hear from Leland Berger from Oregon Cannabis Compliance Council. He is one of Oregon's top marijuana lawyers and has been for decades. He's got a forecast of what's happening under the new legalization law and what may happen to medical marijuana as well. You'll want to tune in to this clip from the Medical Marijuana Business Conference. Also on the show today, we've got time for an activist agenda. On the activist agenda today, one of the greatest activists out there on the East Coast, Ed New Jersey Weed Man Forcion, a friend of the show, staked out presidential contender and New Jersey governor and all-around slimeball, Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey, and the back and forth they had on this filmed video of his is pretty interesting. We'll bring that to you in Activist Agenda. Also on the show today, we'll have time for a radical rant, how young idiot parents could fuck up legalization for the rest of us. You know, I got no kids and, you know, I don't even drive a car or work outside of my home. There's no way my pot smoking is going to affect anyone else. But you young parents out there, you better get a handle on your weed smoking and how you're dealing with it, especially around your young children. Got a terrible story coming out from our neck of the woods here, Beaverton, Oregon, that illustrates that point succinctly, and it's got me a little riled up. So stay tuned for that radical rant, as well as Hour 2 Toker Talk Radio. Will take your calls toll-free at 84-420-RADIO. You're listening to the Russ Melville Show on 420radio.org. Be right back with the 420 Radio News after these messages.
Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization. Get.buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Hey, this is Big Daddy. I want you cats to join me at the Funky Roller Ring, right here on 420 Radio. It's like the groove in Soul Town, smashed together with a greasy pork sandwich on the side, baby.
Two hot dogs and a strawberry soda.
Funky Roller Ring.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
This is your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, March 24th, 2015. Leading members of the Senate Judiciary Committee sent signals this week that the CARES Act is in serious trouble. The act, proposed by three rising young senators to protect medical marijuana states from federal interference, must pass the committee, stacked with some of the most senior lawmakers in Congress, many of whom came to power during a tough-on-crime era of the drug war. Several of them openly gripe about what they call the Obama administration's lack of enforcement of existing federal drug laws, and they certainly aren't willing to send a signal that Congress is okay with the movement to liberalize pot. Quote, "I'm probably against it," end quote, said Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah, the most senior Senate Republican and a member of the Judiciary Committee, said of the cannabis bill. Quote, "I don't think we need to go there," end quote, added Senator John Cornyn of Texas, the number two Senate Republican. Uncle Sam has awarded the University of Mississippi a $68.8 million contract to grow marijuana and analyze it. The contract, awarded Monday by an arm of the National Institutes of Health, will go to a marijuana research lab at Ole Miss, which has been the sole producer of federally legal marijuana since 1968. The project is ramping up to grow 30,000 plants. The government said it's interested in developing new methods for growing plants that contain a variety of different levels of tetrahydrocannabinol, the chemical most responsible for pot's psychological high effect, and cannabidiol, the non-psychoactive ingredient claimed in high-profile anecdotes to effectively treat medical disorders like epilepsy. On Friday, 6 months after her infamous Fuck It, I Quit live walk-off from her TV reporter job, Charlo Green's Alaska Cannabis Club was raided by police. Her former employer, CBS affiliate KTVA, reported that the club is being investigated over alleged illegal sales of marijuana. Possessing small amounts of marijuana became legal in Alaska last month, but selling it is still illegal there until the state decides how to regulate the pot businesses next year. The Alaska Cannabis Club describes itself as a private clubhouse where its nearly 700 members can freely consume cannabis. The warrant for the search said police were looking for marijuana and concentrates, as well as items related to illegal transactions and money used or intended for use or derived from trafficking in controlled substances, end quote. Quote, "No charges were filed and none will be because we don't sell weed here, period, point blank," end quote, Green said. Although she was upset by what happened, she reopened the club the next morning. She has consulted with a lawyer and her focus now is getting ready for the club's first big event on April 20th. The Marijuana Policy Project, which led the drive to legalize recreational marijuana use in Colorado, unveiled its legalization plan for Maine today. It is the second marijuana legalization plan released in the state of Maine this year and sets the stage for dueling campaigns pushing for legalization referendums in 2016. In February, Legalize Maine submitted to the Secretary of State an application for a citizens' initiative that also seeks to legalize and regulate marijuana. Legalize Maine touts its proposal as a homegrown plan that focuses on supporting cannabis agriculture and small-scale growers. To qualify for the ballot, each group must collect 61,123 valid signatures, or 10% of the total votes cast for the governor last November. The filing deadline is February 1st, 2016. In addition to the efforts to get referendums on the 2016 ballot in Maine, Representative Diane Russell, a Democrat from Portland, has submitted a legalization bill that the legislature will consider this session. A two-year effort to legalize medical marijuana in Georgia may finally succeed as the Senate passed a likely compromise that would okay a limited form of the drug for disorders including cancer, seizures, and sickle cell disease. The new version would allow cannabis oil also to be used to treat Crohn's disease, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, mitochondrial disease, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, and sickle cell disease. It would open the door to both children and adults as being eligible for treatment. It would, however, eliminate one disorder favored by the House, fibromyalgia, as being an accepted disorder for treatment. And it would set a higher bar for what type of oil would be allowed. The oil could contain no more than 5% THC and must contain a matching amount of cannabidiol. This has been your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, March 24th, 2015. I'm Russ Belville.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman, and I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Good day, Tokers and Tokettes. Radical Russ here at day two of the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference. It's lunchtime, and everyone is milling about the expo area. We're going to get a chance here to talk to some of the participants here in the conference and see what they think about what's happening here. All right, we've got one of my favorite ideas in the world, golf and weed. Tell us all about the Greener Side's second annual Oregon Cannabis Classic.
Yeah, for sure. So the second Oregon Cannabis Classic is all about raising money for MS, you know, getting the cannabis word out there that, you know, we're not a whole bunch of scary group of people. We actually care about what we do and we're smart about what we do. And who doesn't like to play golf and smoke a little bit of herb?
There's a long history of golf and herb, just hasn't always been out in the open. How do the golf courses respond to these kind of things?
I'm glad you asked that. Actually, everybody, all of the employees were so pumped on our event that everyone asked us to come back, and the head golfer told the boss that he was pretty happy to see him smile for the first time.
That's great. So which golf course is this held at?
It's actually not exclusive to one golf course. It's the Oregon Cannabis Classic, so it moves all over the state.
Oh, okay. Okay, so the second annual one that you're having, this is going to be Friday, September 4th, and...
We actually haven't chosen the spot yet. It's either going to be at Tokatee or Myrtle Creek.
Okay. And if people want to register for this, sign up, and help in any way, how can they contact you?
Just call the Greener Side at 541-345-8904.
All right, check it out. The Greener Side, second annual Oregon Cannabis Classic. Get involved with it. Help MS. Have fun golfing and enjoy the Greener Side. See you a little bit later.
Thanks, man.
Welcome back, everyone, to day two of the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference, and I'm here with Brian. He's with Bud Folio. And Brian, tell us about Bud Folio. What do we got here?
Sure. What we got here, Bud Folio, it's a cannabis strain journal and social network for patients to actually track and record all the different strains that they've tried with their own photos, their own reviews, their own physically experiences. What we're trying to do is share those experiences across Bud Folio and the network.
So kind of a Yelp of sorts, just kind of rating system?
Of sorts. You know, you can almost kind of imagine more like a Yelp mixed with an Instagram as well.
Oh, okay.
So it's more of a social network with the back end of actually trying to help people find the correct strains as well.
Because this is one thing that, you know, the Schedule One nature of cannabis has kept it in the dark as far as, you know, accurate trials and placebo-controlled studies and all of this. We've been relying on anecdotal information for a long time.
Right.
This is a way to collect all the anecdotes.
Exactly. Exactly. And this is actually, you know, a lot of times the reviews that are available today are very generic. Like you're saying, it's not specific to the shop you're actually visiting. It's not specific to the strain that you're going to be going to pick up. But Folio really lets you find, you know, strains that are available at the shops today, how that neighbor of yours actually thought of the strain, and things like that. And again, you know, we really feel the communication about the particular strains at each shop is key for bringing in that consistency as well as finding the proper strains that you like.
So do the shops themselves opt into Bud Folio? Do you collect the information independently? How does that work?
Yeah, so the shops as well, so they actually can host a dispensary profile similar to a user profile as well, and they can actually enhance their profile to market their menu and just reach patients through our network as well. But they can also sign up for a free listing, which is going to get their geolocation within the application, as well as a bio, a photo, and logo. And then they can actually use our lounge, which is that Instagram, Twitter feed, to really freely promote anything within their shop. Photos, links, you know, whatever they may want to do. But Folio is an open platform for them to market their business through.
Great. So we've got the strain reviewing and the co-journaling, people being able to share that information. We've also got kind of a social network based upon the dispensaries where people are rating these things.
Right, exactly. So, you know, that's one of the keys, again, is as you're building your journal, you're actually able to tag the dispensary that you purchased a strain from, and doing so actually gives that dispensary a word-of-mouth marketing, as well as an easy, quick, visible link for a patient viewing the application to go to that dispensary and find out where that product was.
All right, so Bud Folio, and it's available at the App Store for Apples and the Google Play for the Androids, and no cost on this?
Yeah, a free app for the community. Again, we're really just trying to connect the cannabis community, give a voice to the dispensaries, in more of just a profile setting. So free to download. We'd love to have everybody get on there and start sharing their photos and reviews.
How did you get involved in something like this? Do you come from an IT background, perhaps?
No, actually, advertising and marketing is my background, what I went to school in. When I became a California medicinal cannabis patient, really what intrigued me was the variety of strains that were available. What I started doing was I started, you know, keeping track of the different strains that I liked, what I didn't like, and basically I built, you know, a handwritten journal of all the strains that I tried, and that's kind of when it dawned to me, why isn't there an application for me to build this journal and share that journal with other people as well?
Huh.
That's how Bud Folio came about.
Fantastic. And so a startup company, are you based here in Oregon now?
No, we're actually based out of the San Francisco Bay Area, out in California. We're available, like I said, on the App Store, so anywhere where cannabis is legal, as well as the other states that are allowed to download the app as well.
Right on. It's Bud Folio, everybody. Get yourself a hold of this. And, you know, in addition to, you know, tracking for yourself, you're doing a service for other people as well by getting your information in there. The more information we have, and really, you build this big enough, and this is something that we can take to the medical scientific researchers, especially now in the legal states where they have, they're going to be crafting research licenses. We can take this anecdotal information and say, yeah, it's anecdotal, but it's, you know, 50,000, it's 100,000, it's a million anecdotes. And that's going to lead and help direct their research. You know, they won't have to start from scratch guessing, should we look at Super Silver Haze for PTSD or whatever. We'll have 20,000 vets that have told you whether or not that works. So check this out, Bud Folio. I think this is a great app. And Brian, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Download it today.
Big thanks to Brian and the folks at Bud Folio. Another great cannabis app.
Rabba-dabba-goo!
And that sound means that it's 420 in the Mountain Time Zone. Denver, Colorado's getting its 420 on. Fort Collins, Aurora, Colorado Springs, Pueblo, Durango, Pikes Peak. They're all getting it on. Let's join them. When we come back, we got video from New Jersey Weed Man versus Chris Christie. Love to see how this turns out.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420radio.org. Support for 420 Radio comes from Kick-Ass Cannabis and Veggies, a guide to gardening with nature, authored by Kip Zonderkopf. Based on the ethos that a living soil is the foundation of a thriving garden, Kick-Ass Cannabis and Veggies is your guide to naturally growing resinous buds and nutrient-rich veggies. Get the ebook now with instant download at kickassorganics.com. Previews available on Amazon, iTunes, Nook, Google Play, Kobo, and many other online retailers.
Funky Roller.
What's happening, Groovy Cats? This is your Funk Master of Ceremonies, Big Daddy. And I want you to join me every Thursday night at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, right here at the Funky Roller Rink.
Ooh, yeah.
Your home of soul, funk, and disco, baby.
Funky-licious.
There's always a party at the Funky Roller Rink.
Are you in the market for portable vaporizers now? Get online to vapes.buzz, the quick and easy link to portablevaporizersnow.com. Vapes.buzz has everything you are looking for, including vape pens, herbal vaporizers, e-juice, parts, accessories, and more. Visit vapes.buzz and use promo code 420radio to get 10% off your online purchase, or just give them a call at 866-264-2415. Vapes.buzz. Get vaping, baby!
Activism begins with ACT. The Rush Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
All right, welcome back, everyone. 23 after the hour, and today in the activist agenda, we're going to turn to NewJersey.com, which has a video posted by Ed Forcione, better known as the New Jersey Weed Man. He has been trying to get New Jersey Governor Chris Christie to answer questions publicly about medical marijuana and marijuana policy in general, and Christie dodges him at every opportunity. He does a radio show regularly at the studio of 101.5 FM, and New Jersey Weedman's been trying to call in, but all the call screeners, of course, won't put him on the air with Governor Christie. So New Jersey Weedman went out in his custom-painted Weedmobile and parked out in front of the 101.5 FM studios and waited for Governor Christie to get done with his radio show, cranked up the PA system on his van, and started asking Governor Christie questions on the street. The video is posted at New Jersey Weed Man's Facebook page. We've got a copy of it here. Let's switch to that video and check this out. This is off NewJersey.com's website. Just as soon as this gets loaded up, it's getting a lot of hits today on the internet. So thought this was going to just go no problem. But of course, we're doing it live and it's going to take a while to load up. At least we're not getting one of those darn advertisements. But again, New Jersey Weed Man was called Relentless by Governor Christie. And New Jersey Weed Man asked him a whole bunch of questions about this. Let's see if I can switch this over, maybe do a refresh on this if we can get this video to play for you. Unfortunately, we're having to play it off the website, so we're unable to download this directly and play it through the Liebermeter as we would prefer, but that's one of the downsides of doing it live. All right, here we go with that video from New Jersey.
Mr. Christie, how are you?
I'm good.
This is the Weed Man. and tracked you down again. Hey, if Batman has a Batmobile, shouldn't Wheatman have a Wheatmobile? I hear you. Well, Mr. Christie, when are you going to stop arresting people for marijuana, though? Having people arrested for marijuana?
You know now. I haven't arrested anybody. I don't get to do that anymore.
But the prosecutor's office, our state laws still say marijuana is illegal, a Schedule I drug, and 22,000 people got arrested for marijuana last year.
Weed man, by the way, so does the federal government.
I would like to call President Obama. Can you get me a meeting with Mr. Obama, please? I've done that before, but I tell you what, you're his buddy.
Like this.
All right. Listen, I like you, though.
I know.
You should stop arresting people, though.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the TuneIn Radio app for all mobile platforms. Go to rad-r.us/420TuneIn or just click the TuneIn Radio icon below the live radio feed on 420radio.org. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com.
In the marijuana law reform movement, the cannabis community is represented by thousands of dedicated defense attorneys fighting to end prohibition and keep us free. The Russ Belville Show visits with the tireless courtroom crusaders in our legalization, law, and order.
Hey. Good afternoon, Eugene. Eugene in the springtime. It's wonderful to be here, and I'm so grateful to Alex and Ungayo and Anthony Johnson and Debbie Goldsberry for putting on these conferences. I speak at a lot of business law conferences, but this is the only one that combines activism and business information. And, I was so impressed with what Chelsea had to say. I want to share with you that Keith Straub, who's the founder and still the legal director at Normal, likes to say, the best thing you can hope for is that you leave a conference with one new thought. And I hope the one new thought is what Chelsea is saying to y'all, which is it's critically important that you be involved in a positive way in your community. It is the thing that's going to change it, because that's where the war is playing out in Oregon, in the implementation of House Bill 3460. Even before 91 went into effect, that's where it's playing out. I'm going to talk about that a little later. I did want to follow up also on something that Alex mentioned. Listen, Measure 91 is about this. It's about that July 1st, everywhere in Oregon, a person who's 21 years or older can possess an ounce of marijuana in private legally. That's what it's about. It's about any adult 21 years or older can grow 4 plants, have 8 ounces, have 72 ounces of usable liquid, 30 ounces of solid, and an ounce of oil. And it's about legalization. The industry part of it, the part that we're all gathered together to talk about, is the portal through which it became possible to achieve what is so far the most dramatic cannabis law reform in the country. But it's not the important part. Freedom is the important part. I don't like to promote normal law that much, but I'm part of the normal legal committee. I'm excited Russ Belville started up Portland Normal again. But I was going to say, I'm part of the normal legal committee. And, you know, not everybody in the normal legal committee is a consumer, but most of us are. And I found in the industry, it's like that as well. And that it's not people who say, you know, oh, I'm going to make a gazillion bucks, this is what I want to do. It's people like Chelsea who are motivated by compassion. You know, that there's an opportunity to make money doing good work. And so God bless you all for that. I'll talk in a minute about how our office is organized and how I work closely with Robert Graham, but I hate to start off this way, but I have to correct him on one thing. Extractions are only lawful at grow sites, because under the definition of manufacture is extraction. And extraction is manufacture. You can only manufacture at a grow site. Can't have a grow site at a dispensary, or really a medical marijuana facility. So you can't extract at a facility. You can only extract at a grow site. And then I have these announcements. Are there any other lawyers here besides me still? Could you stand up if you're, I can't even see everybody. Hi. Can we have a round of applause for the cannabis lawyers? You know, Alex says, I appreciate the hell out of him giving me an opportunity to speak to y'all, but it's bullshit to say that it's just Robert and I. There's lots of good cannabis lawyers, and what Steve D'Angelo said is true. There's plenty enough work for all of us, you know? So there isn't any reason for us to be like that. And I want to tell you about 2 exciting new lawyer things. One is, did you see, Leah, where those people were?
Yeah.
Could you go? So Leah's going to come back to y'all because... we're starting, you know, within the Oregon State Bar, there are different sections. There's an aviation law section, an appellate law section, a criminal law section. We're starting a cannabis law section.
Yeah!
And signatures, and even though the campaign's over, signature gathering isn't over, and so Leah's going to take care of that now. And then I'm really excited to let you know that this Thursday night, or afternoon, 4 o'clock on Thursday, in Berkeley, California, with me on Skype, is going to be the founding board of directors meeting of the Cannabis Bar Association.
Yeah. My unit is gone.
I know that we talked a little bit yesterday about, you know, Michelle Alexander says it's not right that white men are making money off of black men in prison in this industry, and that's exactly correct. And there is, is JC still here? Could you stand up? If you have a question about the Minority Cannabis Industry Association, check in with JC, and I just wanted to mention their website is minoritycannabis.org. So my name is Neil Berger, and I am the sole member of an LLC called Oregon Cannabis Business Compliance Council. I've been practicing for 32 years in April, which is longer than anybody else. I've been working on this, on trying to free the weed for the last 20 years. And about 4 years ago, when I was working some with voter power at Measure 74, which was a regulated supply system bill, people started coming to my house where I was working out of to say, well, if this passes, what do I need to do to be in compliance? And so a couple of years ago, I guess not last December, 2 Decembers ago, I started Oregon Cannabis Business Compliance Council, LLC. And one thing that was interesting about it is that I don't mind meeting with people, with drug war victims, people who've been arrested and prosecuted in my home, but I don't think business people, I have enough trouble with people taking me serious anyway, but I was worried they wouldn't take me seriously if I was meeting them at the house, and I decided I needed an office. And about 3 years ago, Leah Flynn, who's my legal assistant, office manager, industry insider, and pot snob, started organizing my life. And and we went looking for places, and we found a place, and we put an awful lot of work into it. I had to find another lawyer, Ann Witte, to help sublet one of the offices. And at the very last minute, after like 2 weeks of trying to figure this out, the landlady says, well, it's just one more thing, but it's a deal breaker. I said, what's that? She says, well, you can't be, or put a sign up that says Oregon Cannabis Business Compliance Council. I said, why not? She said, well, it might offend other tenants. And I said, well, that's bigotry. And she said, no, it's not. And I said, well, what if I had decided to shift my practice away from criminal law and look after the rights of gays and lesbians and transgender people and bisexuals and open homosexual law? And she said, well, that's different. And I said, no, it isn't. And so we didn't rent there. We rented somewhere else. And I didn't wake up one morning and say, you know, well, I've been practicing criminal law. I can advise about business formation. I know all there is to know about intellectual property, about zoning and everything. So what I've done is I've associated with different lawyers around the state. Cole Haver in Portland does business formation work as part of an association that we have. He is Voodoo Donuts corporate counsel, and he and I went to law school together, and he 35 years ago, and he's an art law guy by trade, so he does intellectual property work statewide. Robert Graham knows securities law, and he does that statewide, as well as business formation in the southern part of the state, as well as co-chairing trials that we've had down there. Ross Day is a property rights activist. And so he helps out with zoning, because you're going to hear how they're fucking, do I offend anybody if I say that?
Yeah.
How they're fucking with us on zoning and land use stuff. He knows that stuff. And I could figure that out, but he's got these relationships that are so critical that, like Chelsea mentioned about Brian. And then this young woman from Wisconsin, who went to Marquette, went to law school in Minnesota, came out here and worked with some of those criminal lawyers for a while. Went back to school, got a LLM, a master's degree in environmental law with an emphasis in hemp. So I'm associated with the hemp goddess, Courtney Moran. No one knows more hemp law than Courtney Moran. So I'm excited about that.
Okay.
I can tell you currently at OC3, we are working on a compendium of what would be the best places to site a store, a retail outlet, a medical marijuana facility, a retail outlet after the moratoriums end in May. And we're also almost done, aren't we? Figuring out which counties are gonna be the counties to cultivate in without the least resistance from the locals and the best climate. And if you want more information about that, give us a call, come on in and see us, and we'll be glad to talk to you about it. I did want to mention about the out-of-state patients. Joel Berenger was taking his friend Jeremy Fox from Northern California up to Fort Lewis McChord, where Jeremy Fox was going to become Sergeant Fox and fly to the Rock. And Joel Berenger had just long flowing red hair, big red beard, red 4x4. And he's coming up 205 near Oregon City, 72 miles an hour and 55. And Officer Nashy from the Oregon City Police pull him over for speeding and say, what's all that weed on the floor? And Joel says, here's my California recommendation. And Nashy says, that ain't no good here. So we went to court and argued that the California recommendation was due full faith and credit in Oregon. So the probable cause went away as soon as he saw it. You with me still?
Yeah.
Yes. And that if it didn't, he was interfering with my client's constitutional right to travel. So we lost in the trial court and went up on appeal, and the Court of Appeals said, well, we're not interfering with the California recommendation because California recommendation provides a limited immunity under California law. And he still has limited immunity under California law. But the right to travel is about, do we treat non-Oregonians differently from Oregonians in an illegal way? And it depends on whether the statute is ambiguous or not. And they found the statute was ambiguous, and we lost again. So we lost the case, but changed the law, because the Attorney General read it and advised the Oregon Health Authority that they should promulgate new rules, and that's how we got out-of-state patients. By the way, there was a young lawyer who helped me out on the appeal. His name is Anthony Johnson. But the only reason we needed to do that shit was that we kept going to the legislature seeking reciprocity, and they kept telling us to fuck off, you know? No, we're not gonna have, the cops said no, and we couldn't get reciprocity, so this is how we achieve this. And I was thrilled to hear Senator Floyd Prusansky yesterday say that we're gonna get reciprocity. That's good news, isn't it? And plus, you know, I sort of wonder, like, how much do we really need it? We need it, I guess, for the kids, right? If you're under 21 in a patient and you're visiting, but if you're over 21 in a patient, then you'd be legal anyway. I want to talk a little bit about legislation. I mentioned yesterday about 3722, which is the bill to change the sentences and expunge everything. I got an email from Aaron Romano, who's a normal lawyer in Connecticut, where they have won a case there, and I think we may be able to change that law to fix that problem. 2645 is a bill that would make it illegal to vape in, it would add vaping cannabinoids as well as tobacco products in the, or nicotine, in under the Indoor Clean Air Act, which calls into question the legality of lounges. And we're being told, well, you could have a lounge so long as it was a private club and no employees. But, you know, I'm really concerned about it. If you are, anybody here have a lounge, want to open a lounge, it's really time to contact your legislator and say, WTF, what are we going to do to make it so we could get lounges? Because the lawyer for the OLCC is telling the OLCC that it's not legal and that they have the authority to shut it down.
Great reporting there from Oregon Cannabis Compliance Council Leland Berger here in Oregon. Number of issues that we are working on, including those marijuana lounges, which Lee and I both agree would prevent newbies from overdosing on edibles, as well as reduce the possibility of an increase in public use citations. Check out Oregon Cannabis Compliance Council on the web. And when we come back, we'll have time for a radical rant on how young idiot parents could fuck up legalization for the rest of us, right after the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the Ustream video app for Android and iPhone. Go to rad-r.us/420Ustream or just click the Ustream app icon for Android or iPhone below the live radio feed at 420radio.org. At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio. In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
This This is Trey. This his crew. Here he is, what he do. Sitting here hugging the block and smoking weed. Hands spinning on the clock. Look at Trey. He never leaves. Just sit day and day and day and day. Do his time, listen to his man's rhyme. Tell him how to be a man. He listens out, but ain't got no plan. He only listens, never plays, never think, never say what he wants or what he needs. Just sit some more and smoke that weed. I wonder if he'll ever leave.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org. This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Welcome back, everyone. 47 after the hour. And in the rant today, I want to talk a little bit about the children. And I often preface these kind of discussions with a little bit of a mini apology by saying, now, I don't really have children, so... But this time I want to preface my discussion with an emphatic statement. I don't really have children, so listen up. Those of us without children or with the children who are already grown and have flown the nest are very excited about the prospect of marijuana legalization, whether it's arrived in our state like I've got here in Oregon, or whether it's due for your state sometime soon like Maine or Massachusetts or Ohio or some of these other states. Regardless, those of us who like to live our lifestyle as adults are a little bit annoyed at what we call the WOTC contingent. What about the children? Oh dear, what are we going to do with marijuana legalized? What will we tell the children? How will we deal with the children? Well, folks, I don't have to deal with the children. I'm an adult. I don't have any kids. And a lot of adults out there, their kids are grown and they don't have to deal with the children either. And they just want to be left alone to be able to smoke a joint, be able to load a bowl, be able to dab a concentrate, grow a plant, go to a store and buy some more. That's what we want. Now, we don't want to drive stoned. In fact, I don't even own a car. I don't drive at all. I take public transportation everywhere. We don't want to get high at work, right? Most of us never even consider such a thing. In fact, I work at home, so it really doesn't matter. But every time we try to legalize marijuana or try to change or reform the marijuana laws in any small way, we get met up with WOTC. What about the children? Oh, how will this affect the children? The first thing I'd bring up is that legalization is not going to affect the children that much in the first place because the children already got theirs. The kids already got their hookup. They already know where to get weed. For the past four decades, we've been asking them on government surveys, is it easy or fairly easy to get weed? And about 80 to 90% of them say yeah. And there's been rise and fall in their use of marijuana, but no study to date has shown this to be tied to any sort of change in the marijuana laws themselves. There are a ton of cultural and social factors that go into that. So I don't think marijuana legalization changes it much for the kids at all. I think it will dry up some of their sources because there just won't be that much profit anymore. On the other hand, it might provide more access to be able to sneak it from mom and dad's cabinet. And that's where this rant is leading. Some of you are adults who are parents of kids who are still young. And I worry about you, and I worry about the disproportionate impact you might have on the unfolding debate about marijuana legalization. When I was at TCU last Tuesday, a week ago, debating Ben Cort from Project Sam, there was a question that came from the moderator, which was, what do you fear most about legalization? What do you fear most? The Project Sam guy had all sorts of answers, but my number one fear, as I have to paraphrase because I wasn't allowed to record it, but it was basically, my number one fear is that idiots on my side will do something stupid to provide ammunition to Ben Cort's side. And I still hold to that, that I fear the most that, see, at least when marijuana was illegal, you had to be a real dumb shit to get busted with it, or really unlucky. You had to do something stupid or just be really unlucky. And the default protocol for pot smokers was to keep it hidden. Put the shit away, man. Gotta hide your stash. You don't want someone to come in and see your stash. And so there was noise control and odor control and stash control. Keep it hidden. Keep it on the down low. But now that legalization has happened, I fear there's going to be a contingent of people, mostly young, mostly male, who will have kind of a fuck you, it's legal attitude. Who will be rude. Who will be the kinds that will smoke in a park, like I read in one Seattle Post-Intelligencer article. Who will be smoking in a park, and when asked by a parent, hey, you know, my kids are here in the park with me, could you smoke that somewhere else? Fuck you, it's legal. Those are the kind of stories I worry about, that now that it's legal, that default protocol of keeping it on the down low, keeping it unknown, being polite around others just for the sake of self-preservation will go out the window, and some people will feel like flaunting their newfound legalization in a way that's going to lead to a backlash against it. That's one of my fears. Here's another fear, and more specifically to the idiot parents line. This was in the Facebook of the Beaverton Police Department. This was Sunday, and they posted it yesterday. Beaverton, by the way, is the home of Nike. The Nike World Headquarters is in Beaverton. It's a kind of a richy Republican suburb of Portland. I will just read to you from the Beaverton Police Department Facebook page. Man arrested for blowing marijuana smoke into the face of his infant child. On Sunday at 11 p.m., Beaverton officers were dispatched to a disturbance call. The disturbance was related to a custody issue involving a wife and her estranged husband, identified as Christopher Robert Kling, 22 years old, from Beaverton. The officers were able to help to calm down the disturbance between Kling and his wife related to the children. Officers were contacted by a friend of the family before they left the area and given a video that showed Kling smoking a glass pipe and then blowing the smoke into the mouth of his infant child. The friend who provided the video told police that the smoke was from marijuana and that this was not the first time he had done this. Officers recontacted Kling, showed him the video, and then arrested him. Kling was lodged at the Washington County Jail on the charges of endangering the welfare of a minor, a Class A misdemeanor, and application of a controlled substance to another person, a Class A felony. Children are one of the most vulnerable in our society and often don't have a voice. The Beaverton Police Department is grateful for this family friend that decided to be the voice for this infant. All right, so, yeah. So, video of the guy, the young father, blowing marijuana smoke into the mouth of an infant. And these are the kind of stories, and this is going to get used against people in these kind of custody situations, young couples fighting over the kids, divorcing, whatever it might be, kids in their 20s here. And that's just going to be used by our opponents to say, look, it's all well and good that you want to legalize and you don't want to throw people in jail. But there are irresponsible people out there, young people, especially people who disproportionately use a lot of marijuana, and without it being illegal, they're going to do dumb shit like this. Now, we know what the response is. We know the response is marijuana doesn't make you stupid, but some stupid people smoke marijuana. This guy was a dunderhead, but not because marijuana was legal, right? It didn't matter if it's illegal or legal. What he did was stupid, right?
But those are the logical responses. They don't get to that emotional core of this kind of video that's going to freak people out. They're just going to freak. Now, we know the facts. We know that the cannabis smoke is not going to seriously harm the infant. Smoke's probably not a good idea on young lungs and a, you know, a low immune system like an infant would have. But it's not, you know, beating the child or shaking the child. But those kind of nuances are lost in these stories. Whenever, especially talking about an infant, man, that just activates all sorts of primal, hormonal, emotional responses that just don't do our side any favors. Now, to another aspect of this story, though, that I got to address. Class A felony? Holy crap. That's like non-expungible, on your life forever, up to 20 years in prison kind of felony. Now, I definitely don't agree or support in any way this guy blowing smoke in the infant's face. You know, there might be a case to be made for a medical marijuana application of a very, you know, light tincture or something. I mean, I can imagine if an infant was teething, for example, that we might give some sort of cannabis tincture. Very, very light cannabis tincture. Maybe. That's me reaching for an excuse, right? Blowing smoke off a pipe to a kid, to an infant, is just inexcusable. But it's no Class A felony. I mean, we're talking, that's high-end crime here. That's high-end crime. Now, this administration of a controlled substance to another person without their consent, without their knowledge, that's like drugging someone, right? That's a statute for like the guys that are dropping roofies into girls' drinks and stuff, right? That's someone who's, you know, dosing the teacher at school, you know, that's heavy duty stuff. This is a stupid move and shouldn't be condoned, but I don't know if Class A felony is what this is really being called for here. That seems a little extreme to me. But that's my fear. I fear that the young idiot parent's going to leave the pot out on the coffee table and the kid will get into it. Leave the cookies out and the kid will get into it. So young parents out there, you need to consider marijuana as still being illegal. You need to keep that protocol that we've developed over the past 40 years of this drug war. Because your kids getting a hold of marijuana is the number one thing that could derail the momentum we've gathered so far. It's happened before. Know your history. Throughout the 1970s, the support for marijuana legalization doubled from about 15% public support to about 30% public support, from 0 decriminalized states to 11 decriminalized states in the span of 6 years, a rate of about 2 states decriminalizing per year when nothing had ever moved before. And this was during the Nixon administration, the Ford administration, when most of them happened, and those administrations were none too kind to marijuana smokers. And it all came undone thanks to a parents' movement in the late 70s and early 80s. As marijuana became more mainstreamed and head shops were popping up in sleepy little corners of America, the parents sounded the alarm that the gas mask bongs were on their way. All the kids would become marijuana addicts. It was inevitable. And that brought the support down, and we didn't get any meaningful change in marijuana laws from 1978 to 1996. We were in the dark ages. I don't want to see that happen again. I don't think it will, but if it's going to, the way it's going to happen is through WOTC. What about the children? Well, folks, time flies when you legalize. That's all the time we got for hour one here in the podcast. But stay tuned for hour two coming up live here on 420radio.org. We'll take your calls on our new toll-free studio phone number, 84-420-RADIO. That's 844-207-2346. Or our local number at 971-533-7111.
For everyone here at Rolla J Studios, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.